Hello and welcome to ReachMahjong.com's weekly English podcast.
Did you say that to remind yourself to actually speak English?
Yeah.
You always speak English on the... Well, I guess you do often speak Japanese on the English podcast, too, when we're talking about Mahjong.
Yes, except it's sort of half Japanese, half Chinese.
Yeah.
but yes, and then I end up mixing English in there on the Japanese podcast. So yes, I do have to do things to try to remind myself to stay on target. Stay on target.
You're doing good so far.
Whee! Way to go me.
First 10 seconds.
So first of all, welcome back to Japan. You came back yesterday? 2 days ago.
2 days ago?
You have a good trip in America?
I did.
You were there for Halloween, yeah?
Yeah.
Must have been fun.
It was way more fun, I think, than spending Halloween here.
Yeah, well, especially if you have non-spirited jerk-offs like me who don't put on a costume and just end up crashing the party and making everybody say, man, you're
hey,
not
wearing
a costume.
Hey, there's my book. I found my book.
Which book?
Geisha of Gion. Last time I was giving you a hard time about how it was gone. I just found it.
Well, there you go. I'm sure I put it there so it would be seen.
I think today we're going to clean up your bookshelf and your refrigerator. Just the top of the refrigerator. I'm not going inside.
Oh, yeah. Good idea. All right. So let's see. You went to America.
Yes.
Did you get to play any Mahjong in America?
That was the plan, but it did not happen.
Oh. Yes, you were ill, you said.
Yeah, I got kind of sick, and then I couldn't make it.
That's unfortunate. I guess it hasn't been quite a while since you've probably played Mahjong, except for maybe on Ronron?
Yeah, well, I played in, like, the leagues and stuff, but that's about it. I really, really, really wanted to go. That was the worst part of the whole trip, was not being able to go. So I'm going back for Christmas. Hopefully we can set up a time then, because they didn't have a game scheduled.
Uh-huh.
And I said that I thought I could make it, so could just schedule a game, and they did, and then I couldn't make it. And, like, because I didn't think of looking at people's phone numbers on Facebook.
Uh-huh.
Just like, well, I don't know anyone's phone numbers, so I just posted on Facebook.
Oops.
Yeah, so I'm really sorry, guys.
Well,
that's the Seattle Mahjong group.
Next time, then, hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully. And I'll bring you some Mahjong stuff from Japan next time.
Very nice, very nice. I did get to play Mahjong for real last night, and I have to say I cleaned up. Woo!
Way to go.
After a pretty weak start, which I always have lately. Like, I lost the first game, I won the second game, and then and when I say lost, I mean I took fourth place. And then the next three games, mm-hmm. The next three games, I took last place, like, three games in a row. It's just like, oh my god. And for some reason, that group, they liked to change seats every three games.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really, like, from the third game, from the fourth game, like, the first time we changed seats, when I got into that seat, that was where I really might, just face plant in the ground and just died, like, three games in a row. And then, are you one of those people that believes that the this chair you're sitting in affects your luck?
No.
Me neither.
Well, it might affect your luck, but I don't know.
But
that's the point. It's a luck. You can't. In my opinion,
mm-hmm.
You can't predict that anyway. So
exactly. Just because it was unlucky for the previous games does not mean that in the next game that seat is going to continue being lucky, which is sort of my whole feeling about Nagare too. But sure enough, for the seventh game, I got moved to the seat where the guy that had won two of those games really big, where he had been sitting, and then I won the next three games, and they were all, see, it's all about the seat. And not only did I win the next three games, I really cleaned up on the next three games. I think I won with, like, 70,000, 80,000, and then, like, I won kind of a small one with only 65,000 points. So, yeah, way cleaned up. And, I kept drawing my winner, like Ippatsu too, so chip, 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 woo!
Wow.
Good fun. Good fun. And yes? Yes. Back on. So that was a nice change last night to clean up after my worst month ever on Fight Club.
Oh, totally. Really?
Yeah. 53rd place out of 53, I believe.
I think I finished right above you.
Oh, man. And you know what's a little embarrassing? It's like, well, I don't know. I mean, it would always be embarrassing. But it's like, you know, the last, like, I think 3 out of the last 4 months, I'd finished first at the very top. But it's true, I was in very much lower leagues. And last month, I was in the Triple S League. And, oh, surprise, surprise, they really beat the crap out of me.
I'm always in Triple S or AAA or whatever. Wow. I'm always in the top two leagues. And I'm always pretty much last place. I think this was the first month in 4 months that I have not been last place.
Wow.
Because you were for me. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome. I moved all the way down to Double S League this month. And that makes all the difference in the world, because now I am back at number one in Fight Club.
I haven't played this month yet.
Yes. And so that's kind of a nice thing to have going into League this week. Actually, this very tomorrow for us. We will be hitting League tomorrow, huh?
Yep. It'll probably be today by the time this podcast is airing.
Yes, indeed. And one thing, and speaking of, you know, League, I guess that sort of leads into what I wanted to talk about sort of strategy-wise today. How do you go into League or just playing any sort of game or a tournament? How do you prepare yourself mentally? Because obviously, like, you know, you competed as a gymnast before.
Mm-hmm.
I competed in Ultimate Frisbee. And, you know, before you go into a game, before you go into a competition, you always do things to get your body ready for a competition.
Yeah.
And it seems, you know, it seems reasonable to me to think that there are things that you could do to prepare your brain for competition also. Like, you know, before you start playing, there's probably something we should do to, like, get our minds moving in the right way, you know, for winning Mahjong.
Yeah.
Is there anything you do already to get yourself, I don't know, mentally prepared for competition?
Well, one thing is, I think it's really important that your mind be clear.
Uh-huh.
To have a clear mind. So if you have things on your mind, it's usually going to hurt you because you'll be distracted. You really have to just focus on what's at hand.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I haven't mastered the game at all because I always seem to choke when it's most important. I think this last time in Women's League, when I really pulled through in the last session, that was the first time that I've actually performed under pressure. In gymnastics as well, I usually choked when it came to the big day, so...
Huh. You know, I'm sure you've heard the expression to get in the zone. And I remember, like, it used to happen sometimes when I was playing violin. Having had practiced that piece enough, you get into performance and, you know, you kind of fall asleep as you're doing it. Like, you're so used to doing it, you've practiced it so much that you're kind of doing it without really thinking.
Yeah, I've definitely done that in Mahjong before.
You know, I'm not sure if I've ever had it happen in Mahjong. I've definitely had that happen playing Frisbee, where I was running around and then, you know, I ended up catching a goal and that's where I wake up and I'm like, holy cow! I think I just played that point awesomely, didn't I? And I have to say, in Mahjong, I don't think I've ever really gotten to that point. Well, not for a very long period of time. Like yesterday, against those guys, you know, I had those three games where I just lost miserably, in three games in a row that I lost miserably. And then finally, you know, we changed chairs. And I don't know if that's what helped me change my mind, but we had a hand where, you know, first hand of the game, I'm dealer. I get to 10 pi with simples and one dora. Simples and two dora. One aka and one normal dora. So my weight is for the 4 and 7 of bamboos, and the dora is the 6 of bamboos. So it's not that great a weight. But I don't know, it was the fifth or sixth draw, and I had been really unlucky so far, and, you know, my immediate instinct was to just dumma, which is so weak. And I thought, you know, that's just dumb. and I went for it, and then
Dhamma
I drew.
Dhamma means that you don't reach.
Ah, yes, right. To wait quietly for my winner. So I reached, and then I ended up drawing my winner on the first turn draw.
Mm-hmm.
Then in this game we were playing with Urodora, and I looked and you look under there. Oh, Urodora uncle. So like I had a triple that was the hidden lucky Dora. So you know, I had the red and three new hidden lucky Doras and the first turn win for five chips from everybody.
Mm-mm-mm.
And that basically just suddenly set the pace for me for the next three games. Like, I just ended up winning. And it was that moment that I decided to reach, there wasn't really a lot of clear sort of conscious thought about what to do. Like, my actual clear conscious thought was to not reach because I had been losing so miserably for the last three games that I felt like, oh, you know, it doesn't matter what I'm going to do, I'm just going to lose. And then it was just sort of a natural reaction to to reach. And
you know, Kojima says that when you're losing like that,
mm-hmm.
and you should definitely go Dhamma, you should definitely not call any tiles, mm-hmm. and just make your hand with your draws. And if you don't make your hand, you don't make your hand and you fold. But he says, once you're losing a lot, stop mm-hmm. calling tiles.
It's true. It's one way that you can get yourself to be going sort of back to the basics.
Yeah, I think that's more of a mind game, too. It's not mm-hmm. like exactly the Mahjong itself. It's more to, I would say, more to clear your mind and make you mm-hmm. focus on the hand and how you should be playing.
It's true, because in general, you know, we believe that calling tiles is going generally makes your hand cheaper. Unless you have a special situation, that's probably you're probably selling yourself short, and you can probably put it together a bigger hand by not calling tiles.
It also gives you more of a chance to make mistakes. Generally, I mean, you can't make a mistake with drawing a tile, right?
Right. You're just drawing,
so,
right?
Yeah, you can only make a mistake with your discards and your calls. Mm-hmm. So you're giving opening yourself to more. Option more chances for mistakes, I would say.
Not only that, you're limiting your options by exposing part of your hand that can no longer be changed, right?
Right. And it's funny because once you start losing, all you want to do is call tiles.
Yes, you just keep trying to win the hand as fast as possible, and your hands just get cheaper and cheaper and cheaper. So yeah, I mean that's one thing you can do, especially during the game, to try to change, to try to fix your mental attitude if you're having problems. I really feel like you know, going into League Send tomorrow, to our league competition tomorrow, I always feel like there's something I should be doing beforehand to try to get myself mentally prepared.
Yeah, you know, I've tried a lot of things. I've tried listening to music, especially like Eminem's "Lose It,"
uh-huh.
"Lose Yourself," you know, "Lose Yourself in the Moment," the music, uh-huh. "The Moment," "You Own It." I've never owned it after listening to that song ever.
Yeah, you know, I wonder, like, so like what you're saying, you first said, like, you really need to have your mind cleared. I wonder, like, what kind of music it is that would help you clear your mind. You know, for me, like, before I go surfing, I listen to Tool a lot. Because it really fires me up.
Yeah.
And I remember doing that a couple times to play Mahjong, and I've never had, like you, I've never had a good session after firing up to
yeah.
Tool.
I think the thing is, like, that song puts too much pressure.
Uh-huh.
Because they're like, this is your one chance. Uh-huh. And I always think that, like, okay, this is my chance, I gotta do it now, and then I think it's too much pressure. So I do much better when I'm talking to myself during the game.
Uh-huh.
And I'm pretty much saying, it's just a game.
Yeah.
We're playing a game with tiles.
Yes.
This is not life or death.
That is a very important observation. And like the other thing you said there that is really important, I think, is the idea that you know, this is your one shot. It's not your
yeah.
one shot. There are going to be lots more games
yep.
after this.
Yep, yep,
and
yep, yep.
that's always when I find I am my absolute weakest, is when I get into a mindset that I have to win this hand. And so then I end up going for it in a situation where I really should have just given up, because there will be another hand.
Yeah.
And when you have that attitude that you know, I don't need to win this hand. There will be another hand that I can win, and you can give up hands. It makes it a lot easier to win the big hands when their chances are there.
Yeah. And I also find when I'm playing Fight Club, I almost always listen to music or podcasts or something.
Uh huh.
If I'm listening to something that's fun. then I usually do much better. I'm like dancing while I'm discarding and stuff like that.
Yeah, lately I've been listening to, I've just kind of been rocking out to a techno channel that I found that I really like that I think does really kind of help put me in the zone. Like I'm sitting there just beating.
Is that a correct sentence? Rocking out to techno?
That is technically a correct sentence.
Technoically?
Hey! yes. Are you anti-techno?
I'm not pro, yeah. I'm not anti, but I think you pretty much just need one techno song in your iPod and then you're set.
See, you just do not see the diversity in all of them.
Oh, come on, you're like... That is the biggest complaint I hear from you about all other music, is how it just all sounds the same.
Yes, isn't it amazing how different it can sound if you really listen closely? So much more different than, say, all those reggae songs, which sound all exactly like.
There was a time I was listening to Matchbox 20 or something. You're like, yeah, they sound exactly like everyone else. And then I said something about Nickelback. You're like, they sound exactly like everyone else. And now you're like, techno. They sound so different.
You know, so on the subject of music, I have to say, it really, really irked me after a while when we were both working at Sentembo, and when you hear the same music every single hour, it really started to just get on my nerves. Like every hour you hear that same song that you just heard an hour ago, and you're like, come on.
It doesn't bother me, because then I'm just like, now I know even more words of this song. So.
Huh, that's interesting. Yeah, I would rather not keep hearing that same...
Well, at least they're playing Western music. It's harder for me when they play Japanese music and it's all the same Japanese music one after another, because a lot of the Western songs have a little bit better singers. And there are plenty and loads of very, very good singers in Japan. It's just that the record labels don't use them to sell the little girls.
Yes, indeed. So yes, music, and actually that's a really good point about like what it is, how it can help you clear your mind, because we can't have music at League.
Yeah, and that's one thing about North Kanto League. They always have the music on.
Oh yeah, that's right.
At the, I think it was the second session.
Uh huh.
They, Oka told somebody who was working, like, go turn the music off, and I said no. And I used the excuse that in North Kanto League, there are free games going on.
Uh-huh.
So they have other games going on.
Right.
So the music is kind of a nice little, like, I don't know, it sounds weird. It
lightens the atmosphere.
Yeah, it's kind of a good separator. Mm. So that, you know, you're not... Because if it's really quiet, then you hear the free people talking and them taking the money and stuff like that. And that's more of a distraction, so... In North Kanto, we can use that excuse. In League, there's no other games. It's just our League in that parlor, so you can't really use that excuse. But
I wonder if they would complain if I wore headphones.
yeah, I think if you can get like the secret ones, you can't see the FBI
ones. Yeah, that would be thinking, wouldn't it?
If anybody works for the CIA and would like to donate some special headphones for us
to help us get in the zone,
we'll go ahead and start up a fund.
Yes.
For now, you can just transfer those funds to PayPal.
But interesting about Sentembo, I don't know if you ever noticed the in Ochanomizu, usually the music they have there is just the normal J-pop Yusen. But for the tournaments, they always turn on classical music.
Oh, really?
I love that. It's so... I really love playing to classical music. And I don't know if it's just because I grew up listening to classical music. You know, it's something that I'm used to. But it really... I do feel more comfortable playing in that atmosphere. I do really like music. I would definitely prefer music to silence, unless it's going to be the same music over and over again every hour. But, you know... classical music, I think, might actually be the ticket for you know, calming your nerves.
I think tomorrow I'm going to listen to the the Huff and Stapes podcast, and then Paper Planes and Keisha
to get yourself in the mood. Huh?
Yeah, because those are like really fun. Like, okay, if you're listening to a comedy podcast, you're going to be laughing a lot. And then also, if I'm listening to Paper Planes, Paper Planes makes me feel like a badass, because I just pretend like the song is about me, even though there is absolutely nothing in that song that has to do with me whatsoever. And then Kesha, also. It's just like kind of a party song, right? So you feel like light. So no pressure.
Yeah, just go in there and nothing matters.
Yeah.
It was interesting also interviewing Seto Kuma. By the way, if you can read Japanese, there is an interview by Garth Nelson of the recent winner of the 10 Steps tournament.
Why don't you go ahead and just translate that in English and put it on our site? We have permission. Do it.
Huh. All right. Yeah. Yes, that's not a bad idea. Yeah, so maybe you can read that. And he did talk a little bit about some of the things he thought about before the tournament started, or before the final started, so that he could be prepared. And one of the interesting things to me was that he spent a fair amount of time deciding which place he would like to take his game off, mm-hmm. his bye. And it was kind of a weird thing, like, really, you're going to spend that much time? Like, he was really seriously thinking about it when it was his turn. Like, he pulled the three, so he was the third one to choose which game he wanted to be off, and he's thinking, so if I choose, the first thing off, no, so if I choose the fifth one off, then I'm this, and then I'm off.
Oh, I didn't realize you got to choose when you got up there. I thought that, because when we have it in League, you always pick a number, and then that tells you what game you have off.
Right. For this, they draw numbers to decide to see who decides in order.
Oh, I wish they'd do that in League too.
Yeah, that would be kind of more fun. Yes.
Yeah, because if you drew the one, I guess it wouldn't. I mean, whoever drew the one would probably pick the last game. Yeah. Always in League.
Pretty much everybody seems to love being the last one.
Yeah, but after that, the other four, that would be an interesting thing.
Oh, yeah, interesting to see which game people would want.
Yeah.
To take out after that.
And it'd be even more interesting if the person who drew one didn't pick the last
game. Yes.
What is that guy thinking? You might think that he was like Garth and had a little bit too much to drink the night before. Wanted to take a nap before they started. Or
that's another thing that Seto Kuma said. Like, he decided to choose the first game off because he thinks of himself as a slow starter. It takes a while for him to get his engine started. And actually, I'm thinking, that's probably me too. Like yesterday, what happened? I did win the second game, but the first through sixth game, I lost five of them, like, mm-hmm. miserably. And so, like, it really did kind of take me a while to get my game on. So, I don't know. I guess I still haven't come up with the magic formula for how to prepare myself mentally, but. I don't know. I would sure like to come up with some good ideas because I feel like I have not found a good way to go into the tournaments or League or even going to work. I'm not sure what to do to get myself mentally prepared.
I think I've noticed that the more I try to prepare, the less it works. Like, I think, okay, I'll get a massage and get ready, but then you're too relaxed and then you can't, you're too relaxed and then it's hard to play or you... So I think the best thing to do is to not have too much regiment. I found this in gymnastics as well.
Huh.
And also, I think that they... I can't remember if it was the Chinese team or... I was watching some gymnastics when I was home. But they said they train their gymnasts to be able to do their routine anywhere. And it's kind of weird, because with gymnasts, it's so dangerous. You think of them as having a very strict regiment, and if you don't, you have to do everything correctly. One of the big things is the run. People have their run... like, measured out to the centimeter or to the inch. So you are, like, this many. So usually it's, like, about, I don't know, some tens of feet.
Uh-huh.
So, like, let's say you're 30 feet away and you run in or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And they have it measured to the inch. So they start at this inch.
Uh-huh.
And they start running from there. And the board as well. Well, when you do things like your chankos and stuff like that, so when you're, like, doing a move onto the board, you do, like, a round-off or a cartwheel thing onto the board, and then you're going backwards.
Uh-huh.
And there it's really important, because you have to have your hands in the right spot.
Right.
But when you're running forward and you do the jump, for me, I found it much better if I did not care too much about the exact inch.
Uh-huh.
And I just, like, okay, I run, and I know where I need to leap off from.
Uh-huh.
So as long as I leap off from the correct foot, I'll be okay. So, I mean, I wasn't doing very difficult moves, but... they said, so I think it was a Chinese team, they said they trained them to be able to do their routines anywhere, any place.
Huh.
And I think that makes it a lot better, because then, I mean, when you're in the competition, you have the prime conditions.
Uh-huh.
So if you can do it when you don't have the prime conditions, uh-huh. then the prime conditions are going to be easy.
That is definitely an interesting way to think. I always wonder what is the best way to prepare yourself.
Yeah,
for
so
these
I prefer not to like worry about the drink. Like, okay, if I have a drink, it's fine. Uh-huh. It used to be okay. I need this coffee, and I'm going to do better if I get Starbucks beforehand. And I find it much better if I'm not strict with that.
Huh? Like you said, yeah. I guess you got to find a way to get your mind into that, you know, relaxed state where you're not really worried or thinking about this or that. You're just going in there to do whatever.
You know, I like to ask Gemma about her game because. She wins.
Yeah.
All the time.
Pretty darn successful, that girl. Well, that's a good idea. Maybe you'll have some new ideas to put forth after she gets here next
week. I think,
week.
Yeah, 2 weeks until she is a guest on our podcast.
Wow. That should be pretty cool.
I have to figure out how to get another mic or headphones in this thing. I don't know how to do it.
Huh. Well, yes. If any of you guys out there have any tips or things that you guys use to get yourself in the zone or mentally prepare for competitions, definitely be interested in hearing. Let's wrap it up with our little advertisements for ourselves. We are reachmahjong.com. You can reach us at I am Garth E, GARTHE. At reachmahjong.com. And your address is?
Jen, JENN, at reachmahjong.com. And I'm taking the over-under on how many forum posts Garth does this week.
No. Oh. Okay, yes. I will. I will be a good citizen and post. Let's see. Events that are happening. Oisen, of course, is the Honsen is coming up. In Poland, the Polish Mahjong League is having their third, I think it is, annual Mahjong Taikai. That's Reach Mahjong, of course.
Wow.
You can find them on Facebook. You have to spell it in Polish. They're the Polska Liga Mahjonga.
When is that?
That is on the 19th of November.
Oh, man, I wish I knew about it earlier. I think we've sent them prizes before.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, maybe we can still get in on that. If you are...
Yeah, I'll be tight, but...
If you're around Poland, yeah.
Give me an email, whoever's in charge of that tournament, and we will do what we can.
Absolutely, yes. And get in contact with those guys. Their website is all in Polish, so you may want to just go straight to the source and try to get in touch with them, probably on Facebook, or there was a address, too, if you look for the article on that on Mahjong News. Another interesting thing I saw, March 11th through 14th of next year, there is a convention called Mahjong Madness in Vegas. It's being held by promoted by Mahjong Time. Is that what we went to?
We went to that before.
That was the one where they were
Mahjong
playing.
Mahjong Madness is usually American Mahjong.
Huh. Interesting. Well, it looks like it's being sponsored or at least promoted by Mahjong Time.
What?
And sounds like pretty interesting. There's going to be at least 2 days of competition plus lots of Mahjong sort of stuff going on.
Did it say what rules?
It did not. I did not see anything specifically saying which rules. Yeah. So I would imagine it's probably the
competition
rules.
I got an email about it. I think it must be the American rules.
Oh, okay.
Mahjong Madness is usually the
American.
I mean, the one we went to was a Mahjong Madness event.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I see. Well, it might be interesting to check out anyway. Other places you can find us. We are, of course, on Mahjong Fight Club, Konami's Mahjong Fight Club arcade game. We are in Ronron, Nihon Prono Mahjong Renmei's, the Japan Professional Mahjong
League. JPML.
Games. Yes, JPML. It's Ron2, RON2.JP on the internet. We are often playing on there, and we are tweeting, that's right. I gotta remember how to which
tweeting,
verb
twitting.
To use. Yes, I am Garth E, GARTHEEE on Twitter. And what's your
Mahjong Jen with one N.
With one N.
And also, before we go, I just noticed that both of the computers that you have that don't work have floppy disk drives.
Yes.
That is
They
exciting.
Are that old. That's exciting.
You even have, like, panels in one of them to put in different drives. That's
yes.
So
old. Super old school, isn't it?
I remember using panels like that to put in drives and stuff.
Yeah, and you're like, oh, wow, think of the stuff we can put in this.
I know.
Ridiculous, huh?
Yeah.
All right, well, thank you, everybody, for listening. We love to hear from you, so drop us a line if you have something to say. And we'll see you again very soon, since we are on late this week, huh?
Yep.
Thanks for listening.